All right, family, we are about to begin the open mic for the biblical view of the family, which, of course, is not just relegated to your physical, biological family. You've got a spiritual family, too, don't you know? And so, in that greater, broader context of family, what has God been teaching you, and what has God been doing in and through you? This will be your opportunity to share that. And so it looks like we have our first contestant eager to share. So Olivia, come on up.
Thank you, Tim and Bob. So powerful, great series of parents. And this is what I learned in my heart of God. Tender heart, highlights in life, round hearts most people, love, perplex heart. We need a soft heart, be kind heart, tender heart, in it. Relation about it, go over your father, church, learn fit, tender heart of God, salt water of God, tender heart, tender, please share your tender many times, tender heart, relationship, soft heart. Today's faith, one on a little today, though what true is to her, no gas. This to put away, but exercise care for one another. Renew the relationship often. There is no hope. Be kind to another. Amen.
Well, if you're going to let anybody talk, I'll talk. I think this is simple. I'm thinking in my mind how to not make this long. Because it shouldn't be. But I was just struck, one of the ingredients that Dad talked about, I think this was your Father's Day message, was just courage. And I think that it's such an interesting application of courage to just talk about, like, when I think of courage, I think of, like, the beach on Normandy during World War II, you know, and those ideas of like, yes, you can be scared, but if you can be scared and act and do what you're supposed to do anyway, that's courage. But I think that there's just an interesting application of courage that comes with just like being willing to continue on in what you're supposed to be doing, things that aren't necessarily even scary to do. You know, it's not necessarily scary to like physically get out of bed in the morning. But sometimes mentally, that's something. And so just the attitude of courage to continue working on things. Like, this resonates for me. But just like I write things. Like one time I wrote a memoirs and it was really hard. And for a long time I stopped writing it because I was just scared to try anymore. You know, I'd hit a wall. A lot of my songs have been that way. I'll just like get stuck and I don't know what to do next. And it takes courage just to keep on trying, even though there's no right or wrong. Like you can't mess up a song that you're writing. But you know, just the worry, can we finish things? And the same with the family. It takes courage, I think, just to be faithful. And I appreciate just kind of the challenge to do that. And so it reminded me of Proverbs as well. This has been, I think, pretty formative for me. Just in chapter 1, where wisdom is talking, verse 23 says, "If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster." I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm. And the point, I think the big thing that's changed my life is that, you know, if you've ever been rebuked, that's not one of your good days. Like, there is no such thing as an enjoyable rebuke. And yet, you know, the Bible is just absolutely full of telling us how important wisdom is, how valuable wisdom is, how much you should seek wisdom and try to get wisdom. And a lot of times we only get wisdom by responding to a rebuke. And that's not fun. But then the other part is that wisdom here is saying, hey, this is an opportunity. Take it or leave it. But this window can close. If you do not accept wisdom when it is offered to you, there is a time that you will reap the consequences of that. And, you know, you'll want wisdom, but you can't get it at this point. The boat, the ship has sailed. And so I went the long route on this one. But this week, there was an opportunity for that for me. On Thursday, I did a concert, right? My new songs. And this summer has been really interesting. I'm trying to find out, you know, what do I do with these songs? How do I use them? It's so amazing to me that when I write a song, like, this song has never existed in human history before. I am literally the only person in the world who knows how to play this song. This is incredible. And does that sound like bragging? It might. But here's the thing. To me, it's not bragging because I didn't even give myself the ability to see. I didn't give myself vocal cords that work. I live my life on borrowed capital. And so I understand that to brag about anything that I can do is really only bragging about what God has given me to work with. Why not make much of it? He gave it to me, right? That's incredible. So I have these songs. I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. They're not really Sunday morning worship songs. They're probably not songs that we're going to sing forever in heaven. A lot of the hymns we probably will sing forever in heaven. Probably not these songs. So what do I do? What's the application? I've been all excited about this. And I put together a concert, and like, just emotionally, personally, it felt so flat. To me, it felt like nothing hit, nothing connected. I mean, I played the songs, that's fine, but did they matter? Did they make any difference? You know, was it really connecting in the way that I hoped that they could be used? Not at all. And I think there were, so it was just unmet expectations in that sense. And part of the feedback that I got was, you talk too much. And that's legitimate. And here's the thing. So I was really, really discouraged Thursday night. But I woke up Friday morning and I realized, of course, like, I needed this. I needed a repetition of this. I needed to hear this. Because I woke up Friday morning and I was like, I know what to fix. I know some things to work on. I know how to improve this. I know how to make this better now. And I know how to do that because I had a horrible concert. I mean, if I have all great concerts, I'd be fine with that too. But it's not realistic. But that's not realistic. If I want to play for different people, different demographics, different situations, I need a pool of experiences. So I've had a rebuke now that I have a chance to be able to respond to. And it gives me a little bit more hope to say, I think that was my biggest takeaway, was like, listen, if you invite people to a concert, they want to listen to you play music, not give a lecture. And part of the feedback was that the songs are enough. And so anyway, I woke up Friday morning and I was like, oh, this doesn't mean I'm awful, and this doesn't mean never play music for other people ever again, but it does mean there are some things to improve. And if I can handle that, then things can really, really get better. But you got to respond to a rebuke, and you got to have the courage to keep coming back even after there are some discouraging moments, right? Courage, discourage. Courage will be practiced when you are discouraged, and you'll find out what you got. And that's, there's another proverb later in the book here as well that says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? I think that's part of the idea, is just to learn how to be able to take some hits and still have just kind of the mental and emotional fortitude to kind of keep on returning. So anyway, I just the idea of courage, and not courage in the sense of like, I got to go do some like hugely dangerous thing, you know, to prove courage, but courage just to continue when you're discouraged. It's amazing the value of that. So yeah. Value your rebukes and get the most out of them, because I think.
As you all know, July 25th, March 16th, years of my sobriety, and I myself was struggling with that so much, and everything. It was really a hard thing to do in my life. And then next thing you know, I called my dad, called a pastor friend, and everything, and one of my former staff. All rushed in, and they saved my life, man, because I knew if I didn't stop and everything, I would have been not living a normal life and everything. But with them, they showed so much courage, and I got my faith back and everything. And now, being sober is a good thing, man. I'm very, very blessed to be alive to this day. Thank you.
Yeah, as soon as Bob gets closer, I can get it. Well, it does take courage to do things. I did something wrong about a few weeks ago, and I was so depressed that I just cried and wanted to give up my life. So I was talking to Tim, getting my quiet time about it, and he told me to do something. And I just went ahead and did it, and I just felt like, God, it took courage to do that. God was talking to me. And it takes courage to talk to people and help people out when the time is trouble. I just hope people have the courage to talk to each other and to be with family and friends here in this church.
I thank Tim for giving this in life to God in heaven.
And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be, you know, here at the church. I had a lot of problems. I had a setback. My depression and my breast. And God was talking to me, told me, you got to go to church. People, they'll help you out. And God brought me and Dan together. And I'm glad I got Jay for a friend. And Jim and Bob helped me out a lot, too. And thanks to everybody in church. And I'm glad I came to church. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. Because sometimes I need all the prayers I can get. And that's about it.
We're just going to wing this a little bit, like a lot of bit. So I'd like to shout out the church and my mom and dad who gave birth to me, you know. My bad. Okay. No, honestly, when this series came up, working on family, talking about family, and then the first 15 minutes of it is just like, yeah, well, I don't have a family of my own, and it's not like my biological family listens to me a whole lot. But I think there was a good bit in there to speak on the impact that we do have on a direct family. And I've been thinking about my family a lot this week, actually. This last week I got to sit down and talk with my middle sister. They'll call her my little sister, but she's diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She has some severe mood swings. And she hits really hard. She hits really hard. So don't make her mad. But it was just a really, really good conversation because she had moved away trying to find some sort of happiness, and it didn't work out. So she came back, and she's living with my mom right now. It was just really, really nice to sit down and have that conversation with her and thinking about her this week, trying to help her look for a place to live so she doesn't have to spend her entire life with the family, you know? She can live out on her own. But just thinking about my family, there are a number of different occasions in which two things, if they didn't happen, life would be a lot different. One, if I hadn't given my life to God 10 years ago, or 11 years ago, I guess, almost, 10 and a half. And two, had I not had the drive, the passion, and the foresight to go help my family in specific occasions. When my sister needs somebody to talk to, when my brother's kind of lost his way and he needs a big brother to be there. When my mom and my stepdad were about to divorce, like my mom is just ready to divorce and being able to stand there and say, Mom, wait, this is important. Being able to help my stepdad through that struggle. You know, he really wanted it to work out. And it's still working out because I was able to give him courage. That doesn't happen if I'm not there to help them and if God's not in my life. I wouldn't have had the advice that I could give to them if God wasn't in my life. So these past messages about the family, they did actually apply to me. Huh. It's like our pastors know. It's weird. It's crazy. They're kind of intelligent. Huh. But yeah, that's what I guess I came up here to wing on.
No, Aunt.
We play baseball. You're going to get it.
This. You know, when you talk about family, I get good parents. They're not going to be around forever. Dad's getting older. Mom's getting older. And I've always talked, you know, I got Dan and Regina, you know, they're Slack, another family. I've always considered Tim as a, you know, not just brother, but, you know, he's got good, strong Christian values as mom and dad does too. Got a sister. I got all kinds of family. I guess then when I went to Edge, Edge, I think maybe a little bit of a stronger Christian than when I first went in and then what I got out of it. It was a mind blowing experience. Opened a lot of eyes for a lot of people. Getting almost lost of words here because I got a lot of brothers out of this, and I keep in touch every Sunday with each of the Edge brothers that I was there with, and my best buddy Nathan. We're just, you know, and I was glad that Aunt and Tim was up there. NJ. Sorry, NJ. But I just love you both. Thanks for being there.
Yeah, the detail made me think, Joe. I mean, 14T, that was the model of the Baylor. Who would remember that? Only Joe and Bob. You know? But other than that, all of those memories are just, you know, imprinted in my mind as well. And so I concur with his sentiments 100%. That's really good. That is really good. So I'll just share a thought I got from the series. I mean, I did half the teachings and I found them all to be quite good. But none were as good as Bob's on the tender-hearted nature of God. Just needed to hear that one. And, I can be tender-hearted. But I tend to be more confrontational or direct. Probably from taking it outside and working it out with my brothers kind of brought that out in me. But I just felt like I needed to hear this message that God, my Father, my Heavenly Father, is tender-hearted. And if I am to be like God, like I desire to be, then I need to be tender-hearted as well. And it's like, I know this, but I just needed to hear that responding to people with a tender heart is imitating my Heavenly Father. And of course, that is not easily done sometimes. And that's actually where you get tested the most. When you are in connection with a person that you are annoyed by, let's say you don't like them, you find them to be irritating, or at that moment it's irritating, and yet to respond with a tender heart, that's the real test. That's the real test. I really resonated with that message, Bob, and I've been mindful of it. Oftentimes, you know, at the store where I've got this long list of things to do, yet someone comes to me and asks of my time and attention for something that I would consider to be trivial, I can brush them off. Well, I felt reproved in that behavior and that mannerism. So I just wanted to say amen to that message and remind you guys of what tender-hearted stands for. Okay, so this is a little reminder. Okay, so the T stands for today's faith. I suspect you can't live off of borrowed faith or yesterday's faith. You need to renew your faith freshly every morning and walk by faith and not by sight. E is entertain thoughts on what is true and honorable. Philippians 4, all the way. That when you see someone, you're going to filter out those negative, annoying, thoughts. You're going to filter those out and let the thoughts come through that are true and honorable towards that person. No gossip. Bob really hammered on that one. And we need to hear it. It's easy to have loose lips and share news that you have. It's just easy to gossip. It's just easy. But it's not right and it's not good. And it doesn't reflect a tender heart. D, decide to put away bitterness. Somebody has offended you. Somebody sinned against you in some way. You can think to yourself you've forgiven them. But when you feel that surge of animosity or bitterness, you know there are some unresolved issues. And those need to be dealt with. And so decide to put away bitterness. Oftentimes we need help with that. Exercise E. This is tender. Okay, the E is exercise care for one another. And this is where Bob shared, you'll either serve the church or you will judge it. And God wants us to serve. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came as a servant to all. And so we need to imitate that. And so serve the church rather than be judge of it. Care for it. be a blessing to it. And then the R is renew the relationship often. And you can let relationships slide. Is that what that's about? Be mindful of those important relationships of your in your life, and don't let them die. Is that essentially the idea in that one? Yeah, I can tend to do that. I'm more of the what's the immediate need? You know, what's the hill to be conquered in front of me? Attack, and you know, other relationships. I've had great relationships over the course of my life, and yet don't really stay in touch. And so, just a fantastic message, Bob, and really spoke to me. So with that, we're going to go ahead and do our offering. And so this is an opportunity, of course, you guys, to give back to God just a small portion to what God has so freely and generously given to us. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and you can take your offering or your tithe and put it in the obelisk. You can do it while I pray. Just don't forget it on your way. I can see, but like I always say that. I can all easily forget. So this is your opportunity to do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are tenderhearted and you are courageous. That seems to be the two themes that have resonated a lot, as well as the beauty of a godly family. It's a powerful thing. So those three messages, they've resounded here. Help us to live that way. God, if we hadn't been here, we would not have thought about these things. Sometimes I think about that, Lord, to myself after church. I was like, well, I didn't seem to get that much out of that one. But I thought things that I would not have thought otherwise. I met people and I talked to people that I would not have met and talked to otherwise. I would have stayed home and been self-indulgent, and it would have been a waste of my life. Thank you, God, for the church. Thank you for this day. Bless every gift and every giver that is given to help this church to survive and to thrive and to make a difference in Decorah and all of Northeast Iowa for Christ. Your name and your renown is the desire of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, while James comes up here to do an announcement, I do want to do a plug for the next series. The next series, guys, is on the faith of our Christian heroes. It's a faith that endures to the end. Over this COVID pandemic time, we've seen some great Christian leaders fall from grace. You know, the guy that wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye, whatever his name is, has decided that God's not a thing and has abandoned Christ. And so he wrote multiple books, was pastoring a church, several others, a leader of a Christian band, same thing. And there's I'll be doing the message next week. Now, I can even look those up, but some influential, John Piper's son has now got a vast following on TikTok, and he just assails the Christian faith. It's like, what's going on here? Isn't there anyone who will stay true to Christ to the bitter end? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But what I've discovered is you probably have never heard of him. The first guy I'll be talking about next week is Adoniram Judson. Anyone here heard of Adoniram? Yep, I figured there'd be a few. He was the first American foreign missionary, the first American to go overseas. And he went to Burma. Man, we have these biographies on audio CD, and I'm fine with loaning them out after the message. Because they are good. They are incredibly good. And so I'm going to do my best to share with you the life of Adoniram Judson next week.